The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise God. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm glad you could join us this week as we continue with our study of the Holy Spirit and His gifts and manifestations. And we left off last week talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and talking about the manifestations of the Spirit. Now, you know, we said that word gifts, the way it's translated in the King James, is in italics in the King James Version because they added that supposedly for clarity. But really, they kind of missed that because we focus so much on gifts that we forget about the broader sense of manifestations, operations of the Spirit of God in the body of Christ, and we focus totally on the gifts. And so my purpose in this study is to not focus so much on enumerating the nine simple gifts of the Spirit, as Brother Hagin called them, but rather to talk more about the broader manifestations, operations of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. We need to be open, and this is really the point of the study, we need to be open in these days to the move of the Spirit, the flow of the Holy Ghost in our lives, both individually, in other words, in our personal lives, and corporately as believers in the local church and the body of Christ at large. We need, as the body of Christ, to be more sensitive to the flow of the Spirit. And that translates down into local churches. Your church needs to be closely involved and intertwined with the flow of the Holy Spirit and the operation of the Holy Spirit, because these are the days of the Word and the Spirit joining and flowing together so that we have emphasis on the integrity of the Word of God and an emphasis on the flow and the operation, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. This is the balance. You know, a lot of people talk about balancing messages. And unfortunately, a lot of times when they say balancing, they mean compromising. You know, well, yeah, the Bible teaches healing, but, you know, some people don't get healed. Yeah, the Bible may teach prosperity, but some people don't get prosperous. You know, in other words, they balance the message by denying the message. So that makes no sense. The Bible either teaches what it teaches or it doesn't. And it does teach healing. It does teach prosperity. It does teach you can have what you say. It does teach the importance and the power of words, that life and death are in the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. All of these things are in the Scriptures. And when we teach them and people say, oh, you're one of those Word of Faith teachers, yes, I teach the Word of Faith. Amen. In other words, I am a, you know, I love what I heard Charles Capps say this week on Word of Faith Radio. I listen every day that I can to Word of Faith Radio, and I hear all the excellent teachers that are ministering the Word of God on Word of Faith Radio. And Charles Capps was talking about some things, and he was just so plain and so simple when sharing some things about the power of the tongue. It really was exciting me because I'd heard some of these same examples before. And he was talking about calling the dog. You know, you don't call the dog unless the dog's not there, right? So you're calling for something that isn't there. If the dog's there, you don't call the dog because the dog's already there. If the dog's licking your face, you don't call the dog. Amen? And so he just kept going into all this. And he was talking about it, and it just was so refreshing to hear good old basic solid faith teaching. But people deny the obvious teaching of the Word of God every single day. And so what I'm talking about, kind of got a little bit off track there, but what I'm talking about is these are days. This is the day of the revival of the Word and the Spirit. So the integrity of God's Word and the flow of the Spirit joining together. All right? And so when we hear people deny the truth of God's Word, they deny faith, they deny healing, they deny prosperity, they deny all these things that are definitely in the Word of God, then they're literally coming against the integrity of God's Word. God's Word has integrity. He says what He means. He means what He says. Okay? He is not wishy-washy. I remember I was teaching one time, and I said, God is not wishy-washy. And I said, boy, that's a great revelation. But you know what? It really is a great revelation that people need to get hold of, that God is not wishy-washy. He doesn't just arbitrarily change his mind. Well, and you see, a lot of people put it in religious terms. Well, now God is sovereign. There's a big religious word for you. God is sovereign, and he can just decide that in this particular instance, it's best not to heal you, and so therefore you don't get healed because he just decided that it was important that you be sick and go ahead and die. What? No, that's not how it works. That would mean that you could not trust what God says. You couldn't believe what he says because you never know when he's arbitrarily going to just change his mind and say, oh, no, I didn't really mean that. I'm not going to do that. No, God always says what he means. He always means what he says. You can trust his word. You can trust in the integrity of the word of God. Okay? So, that's just a little bit of a side journey, but I tell you what. That's an important point. And like I said, it is a great revelation to get a hold of that God is a God of his word. Amen. And when God speaks, it comes to pass. I mean, you think about it. I'm getting off subject here, but it's good. And that is, when God was faced with darkness at the beginning of creation, and there was nothing there but darkness, what did he say? Wow, it sure is dark. Is that what he said? No, he said light. And the way he said that word, he said it emphatically. He said it in the present tense. He said it as though he were recognizing light was there. Now, light was not there. It was dark. But he didn't say dark. He said light, and he said it in the absolute present tense, light. And when he did, what happened? There was light. See, when God says it, it comes to pass. Amen? So he called, that's what he said about in Romans, when Abraham, was talking about Abraham, it says, who calls those things that be not as though they were. Abraham, who like God, see, God's the one who calls those things that be not as though they were. Well, light wasn't yet. So God called it. Brother Cap's talking about calling the dog. He called light, and light came into existence. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, it's good stuff. Praise the Lord. Anyway, getting back to our study, I'm really getting off topic here, but it's good. Let's get back to our study on the operation manifestation of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. We left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's go back to verse 28, where we left off. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Do all function in the apostles' ministry? No. Are all prophets? Do all function in a prophet's ministry? No. Are all teachers? Do all have a teaching ministry? No. Are all workers of miracles? Do you minister in a miracle ministry. No. Have all the gifts of healings, a healing ministry. Now, I'm emphasizing that for a point. You'll see it here in a minute. Do all speak with tongues? Now, see, some people say, well, but I thought that speaking in tongues was available to all. It is, but in a ministry context. See, every one of these, he's been talking about the ministry aspect of it. Do all have a healing ministry? Do all have this ministry? Do all have that ministry? He's saying, do all have a tongues and interpretation ministry? No. However, every believer who receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaks in other tongues may speak in other tongues at any time. That is a different situation. That's what I'm saying. But in a ministry context, no. All don't function in a tongues and interpretation ministry. But then verse 31, that's what I wanted to get to. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and I will show unto you a more excellent way. A more excellent way, meaning a way beyond others, a supereminent or preeminent way. It's hyperbole is the Greek word here. A more abundant, excellent, supereminent, preeminent, beyond other way. Amen. Now, from there we go into the next chapter, chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, charity being agape or divine love, I'm become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or divine love, agape, I am nothing. Now, he's saying to operate in love. Amen. That's the point. He's not diminishing spiritual gifts and the operation of spiritual gifts. He's saying you guys are excited about spiritual gifts. Well, that's fine. But you need to be excited about operating and living in love, operating in the love of God. That's his point. A lot of people have used this chapter to try to just say spiritual gifts not only aren't important, but we shouldn't even be operating in spiritual gifts. That was not his point. His point was to operate in the love of God. He knew they had a desire for spiritual gifts, but he's saying you need to have an even stronger desire to operate in the love of God. Amen? All right. Verse 3, let's go there. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not divine love, it profiteth me nothing. The love of God suffers long, it is kind, it envieth not, it vaunteth not itself, it is not puffed up, it does not behave itself unseemly, it does not seek its own, it is not easily provoked, it thinks no evil, it rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things, and it never fails. Divine love never fails. Amen. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there should be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now this verse has been used by a lot of folks to say, see, it's all passed away. It's all passed away because the Bible is the perfect that has come. The Bible, now that we have it, then all these spiritual gifts have passed away. Well, now, before you say that, we need to find out what the perfect is he's talking about here. Let's get some basic ground rules, okay? The Bible is the Word of God. It has absolute integrity. It is perfect, okay? The question is not, is the Bible not perfect? The question is the Bible the perfect that he's talking about? Is that the subject of this sentence? All right. Now, for that to be the case, the Bible, your copy of the Bible, I'm going to reach over here and get my Bible. Okay. If I look at this Bible, it's paper, it's got ink on it, it's got gold on the edges. Is this Bible the perfect? Now, again, I'm not saying that the Bible isn't perfect, okay? The Bible's the Word of God. Absolutely. But is it the perfect he's talking about? Well, for it to be the perfect, then it needs to meet the criteria outlined in these verses that we're about to read. Okay? That's what I'm saying. That's what I want you to see. And that's what I want you to be aware of. Okay? So let's go and look at what the criteria that we're looking at is. All right? When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. This is verse 11. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then, when the perfect is come, then face to face. For I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. All right? That means that the perfect he's talking about has a face, and we shall see face to face. Well, let me ask you a question. Does this Bible that I'm holding right here, does this Bible have a face? No. Matter of fact, I can open it up. I don't see a face. Now, I see a Bible. I see the Word of God in written form, but it doesn't have a face. Now, let me ask you something. Who does have a face? Bible doesn't, but Jesus does. And Jesus has a face that we shall see at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's his face that we'll see face to face. Then, when the perfect is come, who's the perfect that it's talking about? The one that has a face? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you might say, well, that's just your opinion, Dr. Bill. There's no Bible reference that indicates that that's the case. Oh, really? Let's look at this same book of 1 Corinthians. Let's go to the first chapter and read verse 7. Are you ready? So that ye come behind in no gift. This word gift is the Greek word charisma, which is translated spiritual gifts. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, wait. Back up a minute here. I'm writing these things, this testimony, which was confirmed in you, he says in verse 6. Verse 7, so that you come behind in no spiritual gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's compare that back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 10, for when that which is perfect is come, the perfect that has a face, the perfect that is returning, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then when the perfect is come, we'll see face to face, and these things will pass away. So who's the perfect? When will the spiritual gifts pass away? When the Lord Jesus Christ returns. There won't be a need for the nine simple gifts of the Spirit in operation when the Lord Jesus returns back and receives us up in the rapture and we put on our glorified bodies. We won't see through a glass darkly. We won't see in part. We will see face to face. How plain is that? How direct is that? The scripture interpreting the scripture, coming together and seeing the truth of what it says. Verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, and divine love, these three, but the greatest of these is divine love. And then he goes in chapter 14, verse 1, and says, follow after divine love and desire spiritual gifts or spiritual manifestations or the operation of the Holy Spirit in your life, but rather that you may prophesy. And then he goes into explaining how spiritual gifts should be operating in the local church, in a church situation. Now, I wanted to share all that with you because you need to see that a lot of the teaching and a lot of the, oh my, I mean, there's been teaching against speaking in tongues, against the spiritual gifts, against all these things, against healing, against prosperity, all the things we talked about today. All of those things have been taught against for years and years and years. And yet the Bible, and crazy things have been said as excuses. Well, we've got the Bible now. We have it in its fullness. And since we have it in its fullness and it's got the gold on the edges and so forth, it's perfect. It's come. And now all that's been done away. Oh, brethren, yet the Word of God plainly interprets itself and says that the perfect that is coming that we'll see face to face is Jesus. See, people twist and wrest the scriptures that the unstable become more unstable. And that's what we're trying to guard against in teaching this message, in sharing with you the importance of the integrity of the Word and of flowing with the Spirit. The integrity of the Word, flowing with the Spirit. If you'll get a hold of that, oh my, it'll be such a blessing in your life. Amen. Well, we're just about out of time. Going to have to stop right here, but I do want to share a couple of things with you by way of announcements. Of course, I encourage you, I strongly encourage you to listen to Word of Faith Radio, WOFR.org. Tell your friends. You know, one of the most important things you can do on the mission field, if you want to call it that, of your day-to-day life is to share about WFR.org. I believe that because there is so much available there, so much good teaching. And it is such a valuable resource in the body of Christ. I truly encourage you to let people know about WFR.org. Send them an email. I mean, that just takes a few seconds. Send them an email with WOFR.org in there. Tell them to go check it out. They can listen to the radio program. We're going to have, matter of fact, on the radio site, we're going to have a bunch of articles coming out here in short order about how you can listen in a number of ways to internet radio through your smartphone, all kinds of things that will be a benefit to you to get the word out concerning Word of Faith Radio. I just encourage you to do that. And then, of course, our website, WFM, Word of Faith Ministries, WFM.org. I encourage you to check that out because we have articles, we have recorded messages, and we have our video streaming, netcast. We have all kinds of things there that will help you with your spiritual growth as well. So I encourage you to just keep both of those sites in mind, WFR.org and WFM.org. And it will be a blessing to you. Praise the Lord. Well, you can write me here at Word of Faith Ministries. My address, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213, that's 5213, High Point, North Carolina, the zip code 27262. And of course, you can always write me via email. It's quicker, and I get it immediately. Don't always read it immediately, but I get it very quickly, so you don't have that delay of the mail system. So you can write me at Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org. Join us again next time. Remember until then to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.